Jason and Travis are fantastic interviewers. Is all I can say, even though I know they're going to cut this part out now.
Oh, no, it's in. Oh, no.
These guys are really the real deal. I love talking to them, and I'll be back.
Welcome back to New Heights, ladies and gentlemen, presented by Wave Sports and Entertainment and brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Let's go, Sports Bar! Just a little, you know what I mean?
Very nice.
We're your hosts. I'm Travis Kelsey, my big brother, Jason Kelsey. New Heights comes to you every single Wednesday. And subscribe on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the show on all social media, at New Heights Show with 1S. And check out our official fan club, at New Heights Show, also with 1S. We got an exciting, exciting show for you. Before we get to that, though, you can definitely still purchase your tickets for the live show at the University of Cincinnati, April 11th. Make sure you go to GoBearcats.com/New Heights. Head to GoBearcats.com/New Heights right now to get your ticket, and wherever you get your podcast, make sure you hit the follow button and all the fun, man. We're gonna have some very special surprise guests at the live show, but let's get to this episode, because it's about to be an all-timer. That's right, we got an all-timer guest, and I'll just pass this thing over to Jason.
Listen, my heart is pumping right now, because we have the king of pump.
The king.
The originator of pumping iron. Our guest today is 7-time Mr. Olympia, the former governor of California.
Yeah.
He has grossed an estimated $4 billion at the box office. You know him from some of your favorite movies like Commando,
hey-o,
Predator, True Lies, Kindergarten Cop, Jingle All the Way. It's the goddamn Terminator. That's right, we got Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wow.
Fire up, baby.
Is that acceptable?
That was fantastic.
Yeah. Yes, come on, baby. Beautiful. As long as Artie approves.
I can't believe it's the baby oil.
I need some.
You're supposed to be oiled up when you introduce me.
That's right.
That was great. That was really fantastic.
Arnold, I cannot tell you, the moment we found out you were coming on the show, just so much excitement.
Oh, man.
You were such a huge part of our childhood and what we aspired to be. So to have you on the show, it's like coming full circle for both of us.
It
so
really
thank
is,
you for
man.
Coming on. It's truly an honor.
Well, thank you very much. And I was so excited when I heard I was invited on this show, because there is nothing that I love more than, first of all, talking to great athletes, and also great athletes that are branching out and finding another thing to do and finding their other talent.
Yeah.
Because it's always great when you're a champion in one thing, right? In athletics, if it's boxing, if it's karate, if it's in football, or the tennis, or whatever it is, bodybuilding, weightlifting, whatever it may be. But that always ends.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? And then no matter which, except maybe, I don't even know what sport, maybe dancing you can do until later on, ballroom dancing or something like that. But I mean, in most cases, it ends.
Yeah.
And so you have to think, what is your next move? And you have to create that vision early on, because you start moving in that direction then. And so you guys are out there now. You started like last year or so.
Yeah, 2 years ago,
this podcast, and it's going through the roof.
Thank you,
man. I mean, everyone talks about it. It's fantastic. And two brothers, I mean, how great is that?
It's been crazy.
To have two brothers work together and really kind of play off each other. And you guys are doing it so well. I've watched some of them. And I mean, you're really talented, and you speak well, and you're full of energy, and you ask interesting questions, and you say funny things, and it's kind of all kind of mixed up together. No, but
this is so cool, man.
So I immediately, when they asked me to come on this show, I said, oh yeah, I don't even have to think about this, because these guys are talented. And you now I know you have now retired, right?
Yep.
And so that means you're going to continue on winning another Super Bowl.
Huh?
Hey.
Well, of
fire
course.
Me up. I mean, fire me up, Arnie.
What else? What else are you going to do, right? You're going to win another Super Bowl. That's what it is. As a matter of fact, why not another one after that?
Uh-huh.
After that, so there should be no stopping in sight.
And right? Another
but
one.
You now, you know, and this is maybe off the record, but no one is going to blabber out there anyway. He's probably here doing some interviews for movie parts.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think so?
Well, he definitely needs to be in it.
Because I said to myself, there's something odd, because a lot of times you guys do the show where you are in another place and you are at another place, right?
Yeah.
And it's a split screen thing, which really works well.
Yeah.
And but now you're together because you're in Hollywood.
That's right.
And Hollywood, so there is baby. A reason. So I'm not stupid, right? So there's a reason why those guys are out here together in Hollywood. I mean, and you know, and there's all kinds of interviews being scheduled, I know, for movie parts. For Blowing Hero.
You say you got any parts for us?
No, but you guys have it lined up. You just don't want to give it away right now.
Oh, okay.
I know the way this works.
Well, how do you pick the movie parts? Because the breadth of action to a movie like Twins with Danny DeVito. How did you know always to pick the movie that was just going to kill it? Like, what was that process?
Well, you know, to be very honest, I was not able to pick it all the time.
Gotcha.
Because I've had movies that went through the roof, like, you know, Twins or Kindergarten Cop and Conan and Terminator and those films. Yeah.
Legendary.
But there were other movies like Hercules in New York. I mean, they went in the toilet. I mean, went straight in the toilet.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay,
so there was movies that I made like that made no money. And went in the toilet. So you cannot always win. There's no such thing. And this is why, you know, I always talk also about the losses, because you got to acknowledge the losses.
Yeah.
Because we learn not only from victories, but we learn a lot from our losses.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're down,
arguably
so
more.
How do you get back up again? And how do you get to the next and be and have a victorious kind of a movie? But I was very happy that overall I've chosen some really good movies and that I was able, like you said, you know, when you were pumping me up, and you guys were disputing between The Rock and Arnold, right?
Come on
and
now. Hey, there's no dispute here.
No, but there's a dispute because he was partially right, because The Rock is stronger now than I am. He has more muscles than I have right now. His movies are doing really well. So there's nothing to be taken away from The Rock. But the fact of the matter is,
my tail was between my legs as you walked in.
I'm very happy with the overall, you know, kind of inventory of what I've created in show business. And I think this is the important thing, is to be able to go and to do kind of like a movie like Conan the Barbarian,
mm-hmm.
where you expose yourself and your body is out there. And then you do a science fiction movie like, you know, Terminator, and then you are number one in that.
Yep.
Then you go to do something like a comedy like Twins, and then you're number one in that in the box office.
Just
and
checking
gross,
it off
you
the
know,
board.
Almost $300 million. So this is a really great, great victory. Or then to go to do like, for instance, with Netflix, to do FUBAR, to go for the first time into a TV series, and then that being number one. So there was so I celebrate a lot of great, great victories, I have to say, with some defeats, no two ways about that. If it's in bodybuilding, I had my victories. In weightlifting, I had my victories, but I also had my defeats in bodybuilding and in weightlifting and powerlifting and all those kind of things, and in movies, so be it. And
in my
personal life. So, I mean, so, you know, you go through that and you have your ups and downs.
Yeah, absolutely.
You never put yourself in a box, though. That's what I always admired. You were never, like, nervous or seemed scared to, like, jump into a new world, something that you weren't known for. And I think that is the biggest thing that I took out of, like, just your overall professionalism in all sports, entertainment, politics, is that you always found a way to relate to people and show people that you could do it.
Well, yeah, you know, I love challenges.
Yeah.
And I think that you guys too.
Yes.
I think that God,
I love the hardest challenges
too, man.
The ones that really get you.
The stuff that you guys do is like really, really challenging. And so I love challenges. I love when someone says, oh, this is really risky, Arnold, to do Twins, because, you know, the people love to see an action movies, but I don't know if they will go for it that you're in a comedy.
Yeah.
And of course they say, okay, so don't pay me. I said, don't pay me, just make me be part owner of the film.
And who had the last laugh
with
that?
I take the risk, just like you take the risk.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I made more money on that movie like in any other movie.
Oh, yeah, baby.
On yourself.
Exactly.
That's right.
So that's what I did. But I mean, it worked. One of the things that I talk about in my book, Be Useful, is don't listen to the naysayers. I mean, how many times have you said it's impossible? You're not going to do that, right?
Yeah.
We heard this our whole life.
Fires me up, man.
And so I remember when I ran for governor, they said, Arnold, they're going to eat you alive. I mean, this is so dangerous to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to throw out your movie in a career, and you're going to go in there, and they're going to belittle you. And the press is going to be all over, especially you're a Republican and running in a state like California that's a liberal state, and it's going to be horrible. And I said to myself, hey, I see myself as the governor of California.
Yeah.
I know that I can do better than those idiots up in Sacramento. That I know for sure, I said to myself. So I'm going to go and jump in there. I'm going to announce it on the Tonight Show, not the official kind of announcements like they make with the American flag in the background. Or I did it on the Tonight Show. Uh-huh. To throw everything off a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I went in on there and announced it. Rock the boat, baby. And from that point on, 2 months later, I was governor of the state of California. You cannot worry about those things. You got to go all out. It's now or never. I mean, so I always go all out and I try different things like this book. I mean, I never saw myself as a motivational speaker or someone that writes motivational books or self-help books and all that stuff. But I've been asked, I said, you know, I don't want to do this book because we have heard your speeches. And I said to myself, yeah, I think that this could be number one.
Nice.
What I have to say. And then when it came out, I mean, for 6 months, it has been on a bestseller list. I mean, think about that, for 6 months. So everything is kind of, I go for number one. That's what I do. You know, like with the commercial. I mean, think about it.
We
did the Super Bowl commercial, right? Uh-huh. Number one, bang, it was number one. USA Today had that survey, number one commercial. So I love those things. Even though this is not the business that I'm in to do commercials, but I mean, Joe Namath. You remember Joe Namath?
Absolutely.
From way back. Mm-hmm. So when I came to this country, I was so jealous of him.
Why is that?
Well, because in bodybuilding, I had to go and do bricklaying jobs. Mm. I made no money in bodybuilding.
Yeah.
There was nothing. There were no sponsorships or anything. And Joe Namath was on television, this great football player. And he was on television and I'm watching TV and I'm seeing him with advertising and endorsing pantyhose. And I said, are you fucking kidding me? This fucking guy is the number one football player that everyone watches in America. Everyone is watching football and baseball. And I'm in a sport that no one watches. And this is like a subculture kind of a thing. And,
you hear that, Patty Mahomes? Pantyhose, baby.
And this guy is known.
Next.
This guy is known. Oh, look how handsome he looks. Look how beautiful he looks. And he's on all the covers of the magazines. All the articles are written about him. And then he does these endorsements. And then, way back then, he gets $1 million for an endorsement. Way back then, I'm talking about now.
That's a lot of money.
70s, the early 70s. So this was huge. Yeah. So, I mean, it just was amazing. So I said to myself, I got to go and do something to build the sport of bodybuilding, to build it up so it gets some popularity. It would never get to be like football, but to get some popularity. And that was then my mission. When I get out of bodybuilding competition, to go and start promoting bodybuilding competitions and to raise the cash prizes and to get sponsorships involved.
Yeah.
And we now have the number one bodybuilding competition, the Arnold Classic in Columbus, Ohio.
That's right.
So cool, man.
I was talking to Arnold before we got on here, but we used to go at the University of Cincinnati, we'd go up to the Arnold Classic, one, to see all of these amazing competitors, either bodybuilders or strongmen. I mean, all of the weightlifting community goes to this thing. It's the biggest weightlifting convention that I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
And we would go up there because all the supplement companies are up there, and college kids, you don't have a lot of money. You're just trying to get some supplements. So that's kind of how we did. Every year we'd make the trip, see some unbelievable people. That's the first time I ever saw Arnold in person. And even from a distance, it felt like I was meeting like my childhood hero, to be honest with you. So this is awesome to be here. We do this thing called New News. Okay,
one of the segments.
It's one of our segments, and you being one of the most iconic line deliverers of all time, do you mind, is just look at that camera if you don't mind and say new news in your own Arnold way. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right.
New news.
Yeah!
We had a feeling it'd be electric. We had a feeling.
Don't turn off when I say new news.
God, that's good. God, never gets old, baby.
Well, you've certainly been busy. You've published the New York Times number one best-selling book called Be Useful, 7 Tools for Life. Be Useful, in your Netflix docuseries, you said your father used to say that to you.
That's right, yeah.
When coming up for the name of the book, is work, Be Useful, has that been the mantra of Arnold in your career, reinventing yourself? Is that why you went with that title?
Well, it never really kind of like made that much sense. when my father said it, because he always would be critical. You know, I would be working out And he says, why are you working out? Why are you lifting all these weights? Just so you can look in the mirror and kind of fall in love with yourself or something like this? You can get strong by just being useful. I said, what do you mean? He says, you could chop wood for the neighbor. This is this woman. She's 80 years old. She cannot chop wood herself. She cannot shovel the coal when the coal is being delivered for her oven. She cannot do it herself. You can do it. And then they get stronger at the same time. And you're doing something that is useful.
Yeah.
So be useful. So it was always be useful, be useful, be useful. And so eventually what happened was that it was the thing that motivated me the most. I heard this voice at 5:30 in the morning and I had to get up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like, well, I'm lying around in the bed. Mm-hmm. I mean, America, for instance, was not built by people lying in bed and sleeping in or something like that. No, this was made by people that worked hard and that were useful.
Yeah. Yes.
And so I have to be useful. I have to get out of bed. I have to go and work out. I have to go to school. I have to study. I have to get smart. I have to get better in whatever it is. So this is, so it really was helpful for me eventually to, because I heard this be useful all the time. And so I said to myself, when I wrote this motivational book, I said to myself, I'm going to call it Be Useful.
Yeah. What are the seven tools in the book? I'm retired and I'm kind of...
Jason, that's the point of reading the book.
I'm going to read the book, but I'm going to get Cliff Notes first, all right? I'm going to figure out the quick edition.
I think that the book basically was written because there's just so many people that like to be successful, but not, are not. I mean, when you think about that, 78% of the people in America hate their jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's really sad, you know? And the reason why they hate their jobs is because they never really followed the first rule of the book, which is kind of have a clear vision. Where do you want to go in your life? Mm. What do you want to do? What are you really passionate about? I mean, you guys found out early on that you're passionate about football.
Yeah.
So you went all out and that was your vision. And now your new vision is to go and make this explode, you know, the podcast, and then to get into movies and to do broadcasting for networks or something, whatever it is, whatever direction you go.
Yeah.
But you have new visions. And that is the most important thing, because otherwise you would not know where to go if you don't have a clear vision of where you want to go.
Yeah.
And so I always compare it to an airplane. You can have the best airplane in the world, but if the pilot does not know where to go, eventually it's going to crash.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to land anywhere, right? And that's what happens a lot of times to people in their lives. They crash and they're unhappy and they don't accomplish their goals, and they don't know what their goals are and all of this. So what I'm talking about here at great length is, how do you create this vision, and how do you have a vision, and how you have to turn off your iPhone and your phones and your computer and iPads and everything, all the machines, turn them off. And just start thinking about what is it that you really want to accomplish in your life. What do you want to go? What makes you happy? And so a lot of people don't know, because I know, because we have the Schwarzenegger Institute at USC, mm-hmm. and I ask students all the time, I said, what do you want to be? And they, if things go well here, I said, no, there's too many odds. I said, what do you want to be? And they cannot come up with a clear answer.
Right.
So a lot of people don't have a vision. So that's why I say the most important thing is to have a clear vision. The other thing, the other rule that I talk about is work your ass off. There's too many people that think that you can do it the easy way, or there is a shortcut, or there is a magic pill of some sort. No. You got to work your ass off, no matter what you do.
That is the magic
if you're in
right
the media
there.
Business, in the movie business, in the acting business, if you're an athlete, you have to work your ass off. So I talk about that at great length, that how important it was for me to learn this very early on in life when I was in Austria.
Yeah.
And then when I came over here to America, I was working out 5 hours a day with weights to win my world championships in bodybuilding. But at the same time, I went to college.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I worked as a bricklayer, hours and hours every day, and at night I went to acting class. So I did all of that. I've literally used the entire 24 hours and only slept 6 hours, and the rest of it I worked my ass off.
Yeah.
So I talk about that. There's no shortcut, that you have to work your ass off. Here's another one. Don't listen to the naysayers.
Yeah.
Because as we talked about earlier, it is the worst thing you can do, because everyone always comes. I remember when I was like 15 years old and I said, I want to be a world champion in bodybuilding. I want to be like Reg Park or Steve Reeves, those guys on the screen that were doing Hercules movies. I said, I want to look like them. I want to win the titles like they did. And they said, yeah, sure, Arnold, sure. I mean, maybe you should go and visit the shrink or something like that. Right? So it was always negative. And yeah. I just didn't pay much attention to that. I just listened to my own kind of mind and yeah. Looked at my own vision. And I had a very clear vision of being on that stage in London where Reg Park and Steve Reeves won the Mr. Universe contest. Yeah. I saw myself on that stage, and that's what I was shooting for. So every rep I did, I was getting one step closer to that vision.
Yes.
And that's, I was like, I didn't have the discipline, because a lot of people think that you have the discipline. No, if you have a clear vision, you don't need the discipline. You just have to go for that vision. And every rep you do, you enjoy it yeah. because you know you're getting one step closer. So I was always smiling in the gym, having a great time, because I knew why I was doing those reps, why
yeah.
I was lifting these weights and doing all this bench press and the chin-ups and the sit-ups and all of those kind of things, because I knew what my vision was. The same was in the movie business. I knew that when I was finished with bodybuilding, I'm going to get into the movie business. I had a very clear vision to be another Reg Park or another Clint Eastwood or Charles Bronson or any of those guys. And there was no way that anyone could talk me out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that even though they said, you know, you have an accent, no one ever became a leading man with an accent. You have a difficult name to pronounce and you are too big for the movies. I mean, you know, Woody Allen is the new star in the 70s, not a big guy like you.
It
was always no. So again, I didn't listen to it. And the reason that I became successful is because I didn't listen to those guys. So those are the kind of rules that I go through in this book to really lay it out for people and to show to them that, you know, pick big goals, not small goals. I said, because small goals is kind of like, when you're afraid of failing, I say, then you pick small goals. I say, if you get rid of that fear of failure, that's when you're free.
Yeah.
And that's when you can go all out and say, I'm going to pick this goal right up here, and I'm going to go and shoot for the stars. And that's what I always did.
I love it. I love it.
Fuck the naysayers.
Exactly.
And be useful.
Be useful. Be useful. Exactly.
Make sure you go out and grab this book, man. I'm already about to, gosh, I haven't read in forever, but I'm about to read this. You talked about working out 5 hours a day, which is a lot longer than I've ever worked out. You've also got a daily newsletter and podcast called Arnold's Pump Club.
Yes.
That's pretty dope. The positive corner of the internet. Tell us a little bit about the Pump Club.
Well, you know, the Pump Club is, it's kind of like a village. It's a community.
Yeah.
It's where people kind of like help each other. It started out originally.
It's Muscle Beach.
Yeah, that's right.
Online.
Well, it's like kind of the gym.
Yeah.
It's like the Pump Club is kind of the gym where I go, for instance, to Gold's Gym and I work out. And you have like a bunch of guys around and everyone is helping you. They count out the reps for you. Then you helping them. You correct the exercise. They come over to you and they say, hey, you can go further down in your squat and this and that. So everyone works together and everyone pumps each other up. And this is what this a newsletter is all about, and the Pump Club is all about. It's like, first we started out where I gave pointers to the people, where I gave them compliments, and where I said, you're doing really well. But now everyone is chiming in. The whole village, everyone that is a member, is supporting other people that are struggling.
Yeah.
And so it's really been fantastic, the kind of letters that you get. I mean, people say, oh my God, I was struggling my whole life with this weight, but now I have a great plan. You've given me a great plan, and I have all the support, all of the members. And then we have like, you know, a million people reading this newsletter. And so we have all of them supporting them and pumping them up.
I love it.
So it has been really the positive corner of the internet. Because everything is so negative. People attack each other all the time.
Yep.
It's terrible, you know?
Jason attacks me all the fucking time.
Yeah, but I mean,
this is just busting balls.
That's the brother.
You heard Arnold said it, don't fucking attack me.
The same thing, exactly. Yeah. No more attacking.
Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app, and it's the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports.
March may be over, but the biggest moments in college basketball tip off in the month of April. Be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball.
And you can also get in on the NBA playoff action very, very soon. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to new levels during basketball's postseason. Let's get it, baby.
And now for the portion of this ad read labeled personal experience to be read by talent outside of Travis and Jason Kelce, because we cannot participate, but you know who can? That's
intern,
right.
Intern Brandon. Back in action.
Come on in here, swole-ass Brandon.
We're going to do picks that we'll find out by the time this episode airs if I was correct. I'm going to do DJ Burns more, 14.5. I'm going to do Zach Edey more, 25.5. I'm going to go ahead and just lock that in now. Confirm that I actually did it. There's a real, I actually do these things. Some people are doubting that I actually do this. Confirmed.
Zach Edey.
Yeah. DJ Burns.
DJ Burns Jr.
Oh, fuck. I locked it in. All right.
Yeah, he's doing it, guys.
There we go. All right, I'm out of here. That's my time. Travis, you're back.
Hopefully, our intern Brandon did you guys right. And if you want to start making your own picks, download the app today and use the code NEWHEIGHTS for your first deposit match up to $100.
Again, download the app today and use code NEWHEIGHTS for a first deposit match up to $100. All right, it's time to shout out our next sponsor, Buffalo Wild Wings.
You
hit it. We're in the final days of March Madness, and the Final Four is officially set. Trav, did you fill out a bracket this year?
Of course I did. Got them all right. I knew NC State would be in.
Oh, okay.
I saw that big dog down in the post going crazy with the left hand. I knew it was going to the Final Four the whole time. I don't have them reaching the finals, but
all right.
Yeah.
All right. They got Purdue.
Well, I know one thing for sure. We can't talk about the Final Four without mentioning the official bar of March Madness, Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's right, Trav. Buffalo Wild Wings has it all. Great beer, amazing wings, and the best vibe for any game watching experience, whether your team wins or loses.
But we all love winners. All right, now, during the Final Four, make sure you head up to your local B-dubs to catch the most exciting tournament action, the Final Four.
That's right. Buffalo Wild Wings, the official sports bar of March Madness.
Let's go, Sports Bar! And always remember, 92%ers, make sure you drink responsibly. NCAA and March Madness are trademarks of the National Collegiate Athletic Association.
When it comes to what I put in my body, I don't mess around. That's why I've been fueling up with AG1 for so long.
Unlike many supplement brands out there, AG1 is consistently searching for how to do things better. With 52 iterations of their formula and counting, their team is always on the hunt for the best quality ingredients available.
I know I can trust every scoop of AG1 because they test for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while most brands only test for 10.
No more juggling a million different pills, just mix up a scoop of AG1 and water, and you're good to go. It's that simple.
Taking care of your health shouldn't be a hassle, and AG1 gets that. I've been in the game long enough to know what works, and AG1 works. So, if you're ready to level up your health game, give AG1 a shot.
Get a one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription. Just head over to drinkag1.com/newheights to get started. That's drinkag1.com/newheights.
We grew up watching Predator, Running Man, Commando, Terminator,
woo-hoo,
1 and 2, Conan, all of these movies. Do you realize that you partly helped raise our entire generation? Like,
literally.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. My father is the man that we both looked up to the most.
And he might be your biggest fan out of
by
all.
By far. We watched Predator together on the couch.
Yeah.
He would eat buffalo chicken wings with blue cheese slobbering off of them, not looking like the Dutch. But what is, I guess, what movie do people bring up the most from your career? Like, which one did you like the most, I guess?
Well, and let me tell you that it changes all the time.
Okay.
It's really weird because there are times, like, for instance, where people were kind of go crazy over Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
And everyone wanted to see Conan the Barbarian, and they saw it over and over again and all this stuff. And then, people, things changed, and then all of a sudden they said, Terminator, oh, I love Terminator. Say the line, I'll be back, and I would say, I'll be back. No, 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 the way you say it in the movies. So I said, I'll be back. And then they said, yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah, so just looking at me like that, really, saying it was crazy.
They got really excited over that, you know. And so then True Lies, then a lot of people thought True Lies was the greatest thing because of Jamie Lee Curtis,
yes,
and our dynamics together, and then it was twins. And so it has changed over the years. And then it comes back again. Like, for instance, recently, more people have been asking me and talking to me about Predator, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, so that because Predator, we have done, I think it was 19, well, I shot it in 1986. It came out in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it was really a fantastic, you know, team of guys that were together, Jesse Ventura,
yeah,
and those
Carl
guys,
Weathers,
and Carl Weathers, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was really fantastic. And so we had a great time doing it. But, you know, now all of a sudden there's a resurrection of this movie, and I don't know why that is. And so a lot of people have been asking me about Predator. So, but I have, like I said, I've done a lot of movies that people enjoy, and that now they come back on Netflix and on all those different streaming services, which is really great.
Yeah.
So it has a life of its own. And I think that now I have kind of like the older people, the baby boomers that are fans of mine, and also the young people again, because these movies are coming back in a streaming service.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
yeah.
really great to enjoy both.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah. Awesome. Was there any movie that you passed on that you wished you would have taken?
There was a movie called The Rock, and with Sean Connery.
Yeah, yeah.
So they came to me with a script that was only 80 pages instead of 120, which normally scripts are, with yeah. a lot of handwritten scribbling in it. And they tried to kind of explain to me, oh, this is what we're going to write here. And this, so I said, look, guys, why don't you just come back when it's finished?
Yeah.
I said, this is half-baked.
Ah.
And I'm not going to make a commitment. I said, and I have three movies lined up already to do in the next year and a half. So I said, I'm going to be busy
damn.
Anyway. And so they then left, which was Jerry Bruckheimer
yeah.
and Don Simpson. They left, and then they... Nicolas Cage got the job, got the part, and they went to him, and he took it, and the way the script was, and then they did fine-tune the script and did a great job with it, and the movie was fantastic,
yeah.
even though I was not in it, but Nicolas Cage did a fantastic job. Sean Connery was great, the directing was great, the writing, everything was really a straight 10. So, I mean, I really enjoyed the movie, but there was one movie, for instance, that I thought I wished I would have taken, but I mean, I just couldn't take it because it was not yet written, because they always say what's not on the page is not on the stage.
Yeah.
So you got to be very careful always, and that's also an advice to for you guys in the future when you get offered movies, just make sure that it is written well, because you know, when they say to you, it says, well, we're going to have great special effects, and you will not believe the kind of things we're doing. And we have this great director, and we have this and that. We're going to straighten all this out. Let's see it first.
Yeah.
Let me see the pages first. Let's see the rewrite first and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because you want to be in something good, not right off the top, something that is not good. You
yes.
know? So because later on, you never know how it's going to end up. But so this is just advice for me to you, that you always kind of look for well-written scripts. That is the key thing.
Got it.
And right. great and great directors. I mean, when I think about my career, wouldn't be what it was and what it has been if it wouldn't have been for John Milius, who directed
Good
Conan.
Good coaches, man.
Yeah, and or for exactly,
somebody
but,
show you the
or
way.
Like Jim Cameron.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, think about Jim Cameron. I mean,
come
what a
now.
Genius director! Right? I did Terminator 2 with him, True Lies with him, and then he went on to do Titanic, and then the Avatar, and all of this stuff. I mean, he literally made some of my favorite movies of all times.
Yeah.
Or Ivan Reitman, who directed Twins. Or John McTiernan, who did The Predator. So these are really extraordinary directors. They made me shine because they were great directors.
Always shining light, man.
Yeah.
You're always shining light on everybody. Is there a modern day Arnold? Like, who are you a fan of right now in that world?
In the action genre?
Yeah.
I think I'm a fan of The Rock. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, me too.
He's really good. I think Sound. There's the Reacher.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that guy is really fantastic.
Speaking of The Rock, in an alien invasion, are you the better representative of The Rock, the better representative? Who's the better one? Who do you think?
It really depends. I mean, I think that...
Both of you in your prime.
I don't think that you should limit it to just one or the other.
Both.
Why not work together?
Look at this.
Together.
Spoken like a governor right here. That's what I'm saying.
Together we have the ultimate talent, right?
That's right.
We have it all.
That's right.
Exactly. We have the wisdom.
Great answer.
And then we have the strength, the speed, the talent.
Yeah.
and we can push it in our way out of anything. Exactly. The Schmay.
The aliens don't stand a fucking chance. Oh, man. We've known that you had a competition with Sylvester Stallone back in your guys. You and Sly and all of the action stars, what was crazy about that generation was those were not just the action stars. Those were the biggest stars
the
in
biggest
Hollywood.
Hits, yeah.
Like they outshined all of the other actors in Hollywood. It was the heyday of action movies, and you and Sylvester really went toe-to-toe. Obviously, being a Philadelphia, and Rocky's a big movie to Philadelphia. But back in the day, you know, what was the competition like? Like, were there certain movies where you guys felt like you were going back and forth? Like,
well, first of all, let me just say that what made us be that big was that we created an era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about it, that before us, there were no action movies where the guys were really believable, physically speaking,
right,
that they could do this action.
Yeah.
So we were the first ones that came on the scene with Rocky.
Yep.
He looked very athletic and he looked very good, and his skills in boxing was fantastic. So that, and of course his acting was mind-blowing in that movie, and that's why it won all these awards. And then when I came out, you know, with Conan, people just couldn't believe that, you know, that, because they always said, I might
name my first kid Conan.
We could never have done Conan without Schwarzenegger, because there was no one around that had a body like that,
right,
and it could act.
Yeah.
So I was kind of the perfect guy for that time, and there were no stunt guys around that had a body like that. So I had to kind of do most of my stunts myself. There was a few things that Terry Leonard did, who was the stunt coordinator, but he always did everything from far away. And we had, you know, this camouflage paint I had on it.
Yes.
And so they painted him up like that, so he looked somewhat like me, right? But and he was far enough away so that we saw that he
Hollywood, baby.
Quickly.
It's Hollywood.
Exactly. to do the stunts. But, I mean, it was, like, really frustrating because I had to do a lot of the stuff. I was trampled on by horses. I fell off. I did the sword fights. I got cut with the swords and all of this kind of stuff. So, but, I mean, we created an era of action movies where the guys like, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme and all of those guys came in. They were ripped, they were muscular. And so then it became a competition. You know, it's like, but not just a competition of who has the best body, but it was kind of like who has the lowest body fat, who sells the most tickets at the box office, who uses the biggest knives in a movie, who kills more people in a movie, who kills the more people in the most creative way in a movie. And so the competition was so insane in every direction. Who uses the biggest gun?
Oh, yeah.
So Sly used in Rambo a huge machine gun that he barely could hold up, right? And so I said to the guy when I did Commando, I said, guys, we got to go and use a machine gun that is mounted on a helicopter or on a tank, not for a human being. And so I was holding this gun. I couldn't hold it up. It had like a stand underneath because it was so heavy. It was so huge. And I'm in the jungle there, boom, 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 you know, nailing the jungle trees and all that stuff. So it was crazy.
That'd be
the
awesome.
Competition was insane.
Yeah.
But with all the competitiveness, the day when we look back, we laugh at it because we're very good friends and we help each other all the time. And so we laugh at it, and we actually have come to the conclusion that because of this competition, we were kind of like working extra hard because, as you know, competition creates performance.
Yeah.
If you have no competition, there's no performance.
These action
guys
are just too fucking kind right now.
So
you guys are way too fucking kind.
Oh, no. We just grind it out. And we were competing, and now it's a friendly competition. It's always a competition.
Yeah.
But I mean, now he's doing the Tulsa King, you know, and I'm doing my FUBA series starting in a month, and he's starting to shoot, I think, in a week or two. And so it is fun to see him successful, I'm successful, and we're doing it together kind of thing, and we laugh about the good old days.
Hell yeah, I'm sure you do.
How close were, because it had to be at least offered and on the table, how close were you to being a villain in Rocky?
Oh.
I was never offered the villain in Rocky. No. I was never offered the villain. First of all, I wouldn't have taken it. And I think that Sly knew that. But I mean, the villains that he had, let's not forget, I mean, they were priceless.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about, you know, Carl Weathers, right? I mean, it
Carl
was
Weathers,
how good he was. I mean, it was unbelievable. Dolph Lundgren.
Let's be honest, Dolph was good, but if I think of a German
Dolph Lundgren. He was tall. He was 6 feet tall. He was fantastic.
He was.
I love Dolph Lundgren.
They might have had to change the script. That's what it really is.
Then Mr. T.
Yeah.
How about Mr. T?
Mr. T. Hulk Hogan in Rocky III.
Hulk Hogan, exactly. There were great villains in there and opposite styles. So I think that he did a good job picking those guys.
Nice.
But I mean, we did a movie together. You know,
Expendables?
Expendables, yeah. And then also Escape Plan.
Escape Plan.
Yeah. So they changed the title from Tomb to Escape Plan. And Sly and I did that together, which was really fun to work with him on that film. And so maybe we do something else in the future. Who knows?
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we usually ask all of our NFL guests, what is your welcome to the NFL moment? You've had so many careers, so it's hard to ask which ones. We're just going to ask y'all, what is your welcome to Hollywood moment, what's your welcome to bodybuilding moment, and what's your welcome to America moment?
Well, let me just say that I am a product of a lot of help. Okay, and I say that because so many times people say, you know, I'm a self-made man and I'm the perfect example of a self-made man, but I'm not.
I've been following this guy my whole career, so I know what you're saying.
Exactly. So I would never have been able to come to America if it wouldn't have been for Joe Weider, who was the publisher of the Muscle magazines.
Nice.
And he had the Weider distribution with barbells and dumbbells and all of the stuff worldwide. And he brought me to America. He gave me the chance to bring me over here and to compete here in a Mr. Universe contest and then I stayed here. And he paid for my apartment in the beginning,
nice.
And gave me some little bit of spending money, and I endorsed his products and all that kind of stuff. So that was very, very helpful. In the movie world, it was the same thing. It was like people that invited me in. I mean, there was a guy by the name of Bob Rafelson.
Okay.
Bob Rafelson directed 5 Easy Pieces and Easy Rider and those movies with Jack Nicholson.
Mm-hmm.
And he directed the movie that I was in, Stay Hungry, with Jeff Bridges and with Sally Fields. Without him, I wouldn't have had that huge break in Hollywood. And I got the Best Acting Debut Award in the Golden Globes for that role.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, again, it was people that were helpful and that continued helping. And Dino De Laurentiis, who was one of the most famous producers, who then got me to do Conan the Barbarian and with Ed Pressman and all this. So there were a lot of people that were very helpful and they brought me in. But I mean, to me, coming to America was the key to my success because everything that I have accomplished in my life was because of coming to America.
Yeah.
America is the land of opportunity, even though people criticize it and politicize it, and it doesn't matter if the Democrats are in charge, if the Republicans are in charge, America is the greatest country in the world, and it is the most generous country in the world, and it has given me all the opportunities in the movie business and in bodybuilding and making millions of dollars, and you know, and my family and everything. It's all because of America.
What do you think it is that makes America so unique as a country? Like, why is it that America has that?
You know, it's history and it's just its generosity. It's just a place where foreigners are welcomed. And this is the key thing. If you are willing to contribute to America, there's a lot of people that want to come to America to take advantage of America. And I'm very vividly against that, you know, because everything is a two-way street. When I come to America and I see that I'm being welcomed and received with open arms, then I want to make sure that I do everything I can to give back to America. And this was to me always the thing, you know, which means not skipping taxes or running off to another country to have some offshore corporation or any of those things. I believe in paying your taxes and go and enjoy this great nation that gives us all these opportunities and giving something back. So that's why I always was interested in, you know, getting involved in creating after-school programs
yes.
for kids. all over the country. So we have one of the biggest after school program organizations, the After School All-Stars.
That's awesome.
I got involved in Special Olympics.
Brandon, where is that on the rundown? God damn it.
I have done the Special Olympics. I became the national coach of Special Olympics, international coach of Special Olympics, to help people that are disadvantaged sometimes, you know, mentally or physically, and so help them. And traveled around the world to do that. Then, of course, being the chairman of the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports under President Bush's leadership. So I did that for years, and that was really fantastic to travel through all 50 states in the United States to kind of motivate kids to exercise and to have more physical education programs in the public schools.
Yeah.
And then, of course, running for governor. Mm-hmm. It was like I literally gave up. You know, at that point, I was getting anywhere between $20 and $30 million a movie, and I was doing two movies a year.
It's not bad.
And I gave that up.
Pretty good.
To run for governor and to be governor for 7 years, not to take the salary.
Yeah.
Even that, you know, they offer you $178,000, which was like petty cash, right?
Well, so
I said, I'm not going to take
that.
I'm not going to take that. I said, give it to people in California that need it. There's a lot of people that need that money more than I do. But I mean, those are the kind of things I gave up to give something back to America, because I said to myself, America gave me everything, so now it's my time to give something back.
That's love awesome, that. Man. Love that. All right, we're going to stop being fanboys over your acting career and switch over to a different kind of fanboy here.
Right.
Andy Reid always tells Travis, you lose your glutes, you lose your game. As a 7-time Mr. Olympian and the most iconic weightlifting but bodybuilding individual of all time.
Right?
What is the key to building up your body and your mind? Like, I know that it's more complex, but what are a few things that our listeners could take away? And like, if they wanted to become more happy with their physique, get pumped up, what are the few keys that you give them?
The most important thing, and I was very fortunate that I started in a weightlifting club. So we were not allowed to do bodybuilding exercises until we have proven that we have done our training for weightlifting for Olympic lifting.
Developed muscles.
So it was the two-arm press at that time. Now they don't do that anymore. Then it was the two-arm clean and jerk.
And
the two-arm snatch. So those are the three disciplines that we had to kind of practice. And then on top of that, I practiced also powerlifting, the bench press. There was like actually four disciplines. It was the bench press, then there was the squat and the deadlift, and also the cheating curl. Cheating curl, yes.
That means you're swinging it.
You're swinging. Exactly. Yeah. So it was understood you swing, but you had to get it up there. You know? So there was like, so those were the four kind of disciplines. So we had to practice that also. And when that was done, then you could go and do some chin-ups and do some incline bench presses or some flies or some pullover exercises.
Focus on specific.
And curls and stuff like that for bodybuilding. So that was the deal. So I was lucky because in weightlifting, you do the very basic exercises, the deadlift.
Yeah.
So that's why I went all the way up to 710-pound deadlift.
God damn.
And then the bench press and the bench press. So I did all the basic lifts, bent over rowing, you know, the squats, the bench press, the incline press. All of those things that were very, very important to build the basics of the body.
Compound
because
movements, big
then,
movements.
Then when that is done, and you have deltoids, and you have pectoral muscles, and you have a huge chest, and lats, and the back, now you go and start chiseling away, because now it's about the perfection. Do you have enough upper lats, lower lats, and the rear deltoids, side deltoids, front deltoids? Is there a split between the pectoral muscle and the front deltoid? Is there a split between the trapezius and
you're
the
deltoid? You're going through the entire anatomy of the body right now.
No, but I mean, it's you have to know
this
all of
cool,
that.
Yeah.
That is the most important thing because there's an exercise for each part of your body.
Yeah.
And so when you know, how do I go and create a little bit more of that rear deltoid? How do I create a little bit more of the serratus that separates the latissimus from the pectoral muscle?
Mm-hmm.
How do I create a little bit more of those intercostals that separates the abdominals and the side to the obliques? And all of those kind of things, when you know those exercises and know those machines, that's what makes you then sculpt the perfect body,
yeah,
or as perfect as we ever can get. You know, just, no one ever got perfection, but I mean, as perfect as you can get.
Yeah, right.
yeah. But so that's what it is about. It's knowing that, studying it, and then also knowing the nutritional part, because you know, you got to realize that the body needs protein. It needs carbohydrates, it needs fats, it needs them, but what is the balance? So that is also very important, that you figure out not what is the rule out there. So that's important to know what's the rule, but that's not the only thing that's important. You got to figure out also what is it that is working for you.
Right.
Because what works for you may not work for you.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So people try to copy each other. That's all good. Of course, I copied my curl because someone else did the curl in orders. But then I had to figure out what kind of a curl do I need to do to get that peak on the bicep? Mm. What did I need to do for my calves, for my outer calves? So everyone is different, and everyone has to therefore train a little differently.
Yeah.
Jason, Jason does a lot of, what is it? You're vegan. Jason's real vegan. I always was out on vegan. I never thought. I did it 1 week, couldn't do it. I needed way more protein other than beans. have you ever gone vegan?
I have cut down my meat intake by around 70%. And the one that talked me into it was Jim Cameron. He's vegan, 100% vegan. And he has tremendous energy. And so I think it works, because when you get older, then you doctors always will tell you, especially if you have a heart condition, so they will always tell you, I said, look, cut down on your meat intake. Cut down on your meat intake. And so I did. I started, you know, just eating mostly vegetables, and at night having a soup or some cucumber salad or something like that, rather than having chicken or having meat or steak. But I still love my steak.
It's pretty
and
hard
I still
to
go out there and every so often make my barbecued steak. I still want to go to Austria, eat my Wiener Schnitzel.
Ooh,
oh man, yes. The breaded Wiener Schnitzel. Are you kidding me? The breaded Wiener Schnitzel. Veal. Yeah, it's fantastic. You know,
I've
love
had
that.
The chicken schnitzel out there in Germany. I went to Frankfurt this year.
That's also good. Chicken schnitzel is also it's very, very good. Yeah.
I'm in the process right now. I'm retired. I've played my whole career at 295. I'm trying to get down to 250, 260. My goal is 2 pounds every week, lose it, because I want to lose it but maintain my muscle mass.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to monitor my protein, my carbs, my fats, and make sure that I'm hitting at least 1 pound per body weight. Is
You're
that
showing off right now?
Are these? Well, I'm asking. Is this like the model? Because I'm trying to.
The most important thing is that you slowly kind of decrease the body fat.
Yes.
And increase the body muscles.
Right.
So you just switch. It doesn't just have to do with the weight.
Yeah.
Yes, you have, of course you want to reduce weight because it's much healthier and you're much more agile and much faster. You can do more and all that kind of stuff. You're much more energetic. But you want to slowly decrease the fat and increase a muscle mass.
Yes.
That is the key thing. And so with the exercising and with the machines and the weights and all of that stuff, you should be able to do that very easily.
All right.
And I know that you have lifted some serious weights.
Oh, yeah.
And your best squat is what? It's like
700, something. Yeah, I haven't done it in a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, that's some serious weight.
Yeah.
So you're talking about...
My body would break. Don't even look at it.
No, but I mean, you guys, both of you lift a lot of weights. And so it should be easy to go and do... You don't have to lift heavy.
Yeah.
That's the key thing, because remember, at a certain age... You start getting into this wear and tear of the joints.
Counterproductive.
It's unnecessary because you're not competing.
Right.
So it's unnecessary to go and try to outdo the lifting and all that stuff. I'd rather see you doing, you know, 12, 15 reps an exercise.
Band workouts.
And doing it as strict as possible and to do many, many reps and many sets and to do it the right way and to gain the muscle size rather than to just torture yourself and to have injuries and all that. That time should be over for you.
We're smarter than harder, man.
Yeah.
All right, we need to shout out one of our sponsors that you probably see us drinking all the time. You guessed it. That's Accelerator Active Energy Drinks.
Woo! If you've been looking for ways to accelerate your fitness, look no further than Accelerator Active Energy.
Accelerator Active Energy has zero sugar, gets your metabolism going, and gives you the enhanced focus you need to accomplish anything.
Anything.
Like maybe throwing out a first pitch.
Ooh.
Or interviewing the Terminator.
All right, now that made me happy. Plus, any 92%ers who don't know, Kelsey Jam is right around the corner, baby. May 18th, we're coming to you in Kansas City. Ooh, I can't wait to get it going, baby. Accelerator is doing a sweepstakes to give two lucky people the VIP treatment in Kansas City. The winner will get two VIP tickets, airfare for two, hotel stay, and $500 in spending cash to hang out with me, Diplo, Weezy, 2 Chainz, DJ EV, DJ Iree. And check out at Drink Accelerator on Instagram and TikTok for how to enter. Oh, and the winner also gets some cases sent to their house by our friends Accelerator.
If you want to enter, you can find Accelerator at Quick Trip, Meijer, Hy-Vee, Giant Eagle, and of course, Amazon. Breaking news. What's the chime that it does when it's like breaking news on like TV shows? That's ESPN.
Yeah. That's tough then.
Breaking news. For those in the Philadelphia area, Accelerator is now available at Wawa. That's
Whoa,
right.
We got it Wawa?
That's
We're
right.
Fucking killing it.
Yeah. If you're in Wawa, you're printing these things. So get yourself a can and gain an entry into this Accelerator giveaway at your local Wawa. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone.
Liquid IV has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free drink, Jason.
And in addition to all its hydration and nutritional benefits, Liquid IV also comes in delicious flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, and lemon lime.
With its convenient packaging, no artificial sweeteners, and zero sugar, Liquid IV is the perfect way to stay hydrated before a workout, when you feel run down, maybe after a long night out or after long flights.
Plus, just one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone.
However you hydrate, grab Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code, you guessed it, New Heights.
That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code New Heights at liquidiv.com.
We love speaking things into existence on this show. That's right, 92%ers. Earlier this year, I said I needed more comfortable chairs in the Chiefs tight end room. And now you can see Jason's damn near asleep, and I am currently sitting in the best recliner Lazy Boy makes.
Oh, my gosh.
We all know Jason's the GOAT center, so for his retirement, I thought I'd surprise him with the GOAT chair. Ha ha, Lazy Boy recliner. Jason, what do you think of this thing? Do you like your gift?
Incredible gift, Trev.
Thanks,
really,
man.
Nailed it.
I'm thoughtful.
Hard to beat a Lazy Boy recliner. Matter of fact, some say it can't be beat. As you know, we're in LA right now. How am I supposed to get this thing back to Philly?
I mean, they shipped it here. I just figured they ship it to you after this. Anyone want to send a truck?
While you figure that out, I'll finish this ad read. Everyone has a reason why they've earned the right to relax. And you shouldn't feel guilty at all about it. It's cool that somebody is standing up for your right to sit down. Who better ready to do that than Lazy Boy? Take a look at lazyboy.com or stop into your local Lazy Boy furniture galleries for the most comfortable stuff out there. Long live the lazy.
Let's do notum questions.
What happened here? He was the parking attendant out there. When I came in, this is like wild. I mean,
who's making the rules around here, Brandon?
I have never seen anything like it in my life. Jesus.
We're in America, land of the opportunity.
Exactly.
Go straight from there. All right, now let's get into some no dumb questions, and a very special edition of no dumb questions, because we arguably have the smartest man answering these no dumb questions with a bunch of dummies, me and Jason, obviously. No Dumb Questions is brought to you by Lazy Boy, my favorite recliner. Join the movement to take a moment on the most comfortable furniture out there. Long live lazy. In a recent interview, you said you learned about the rules of American football through your kids, since they watched and played growing up. What was your first impression of American football outside of Joe Namath.
Joe Namath.
Well, but I mean, I tried to watch it because, of course, my friends, even though they were bodybuilders in the gym, in Gold's Gym, and you know, on Sundays I would be hanging out with them, and they said, "Let's watch football." So yeah. I was watching football, but of course, I could not understand it.
It's a little confusing. So
imagine that in soccer you never stop.
Yeah.
And in football they stopped all the time. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, "Why are we stopping
again?" Best thing ever.
So I said, "What the hell is going on here?" And why are we stop? So then, when they started explaining to me some of the rules and orders, then it started making sense. But when it really made sense was when I had kids, and my sons were heavily in the football. They were playing football also in elementary school and then also in high school and all of that stuff, and loved it. And so we, of course, had to watch football. It was the things that we did always together.
That's all.
And so I said, wait a minute. Why is this guy saying that this was not allowed? I mean, all he did was just held on to his gear and didn't let him run. Yeah. No, he can't do that. I said, yeah, but then the
all
other guy.
All he did was take his helmet off.
The other guy is ripping this guy and hitting him in the head with the, you know, and then they're crashing together with the helmets, and the guy's passing out.
That's the football I know. That doesn't make any.
So anyway, so it was things like that. So they explained it to me step by step. And the kids, I tell you one thing. I learned very quickly how much that your children love to educate the parents. Because we always say, don't do this, do this, do that. No, you're wrong with the math. This is the way it is. The spelling is wrong. You write this again and all this. We always try to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden you go. But it was not kind of like meant to be like that. But I said, Patrick, what happened here now? Why? So then he explains it, and I said, oh, that's why. I realized how much he loved it. Yes. And then he had his buddies over there. Then he looked over his buddies, you know, kind of like, yeah.
This guy.
I have an idiot father. I mean, you have to understand, guys, he's from Austria.
Oh, man. Okay.
It was all this eyeing around and stuff like that. But I mean, I learned the game. I learned the rules. And then later on, around 10 years ago, I fell in love with Heather, with my girlfriend, who is a physical therapist, who treats a lot of the football players and boxers and UFC fighters and basketball players. And she's really a fanatic about sports,
nice.
And especially about football. So now I'm sitting with her, and she's explaining if I have any questions.
Here we go, Heather.
So it never stops. So anyway, so this is really what has happened in the last few years.
You had to have been asked to play football at some point, though.
No, I've never been asked. I tell you why. Because people have known my drive and my clear vision in bodybuilding, you know, because I've been invited by track and field guys, you know, Bruce Channer and all those guys that were training for the Olympics in the 70s,
yeah.
You know, to come in the field with them and to throw the javelin and the shot put and all this stuff. But I mean, I've never really been invited to play football or anything like that. But I always loved it. I was always mesmerized of how it can be so popular and how people can get into it and drink and eat and this and that. It becomes kind of like a fest.
Football,
it was like, it's really fantastic. Yeah. So
culture.
I learned that whole thing watching my kids, you know, kind of digging it and just to having their friends over, and how this was kind of the early stage and how that continued on until the day.
That's exactly how it started for us, just sitting there watching with our dad and enjoying those games. If you ever want to come see some good football, baby, you're more than welcome to come on over to Kansas City.
Yeah, right. Do you have a team that you
roll
root
the red
for?
Carpet out?
When you live here, then you root for teams from here,
yeah.
From
maybe the Raiders,
or the 49ers, or whatever it is. You know, so but I mean, whatever. But I mean, I always say that if you watch the best, no matter what it is, what sport it is, if you watch the best. I mean, it is absolute heaven, and it's so inspirational. So
I'm with you on that.
The best in football, if you watch the best in football, if it's college football, if it's professional football, if it's whatever it is, or gymnastics, or this or that, I mean, it's just always wonderful to watch. I love watching
it. I'm with you.
Love that. Last segment here. We got to ask, but you don't have to answer. All right? This segment
never been so true.
Is brought to our friends at Accelerator Active Energy Drink. Yeah. You can find Accelerator Active Energy Drink at Quick Trick Meijer, Hy-Vee, Giant Eagle, and as always, like everything else, Amazon.com.
This is the drink.
Yeah, plant-based thermogenics right here, Arnie.
That's right.
All
right,
it's just good. A little sustained energy, enhanced focused.
Speaking of vegan.
So now I understand where you guys get the energy from. Wow, look at that.
Is that cheating? Yeah. That works well. how close are we to the Terminator becoming a real thing?
With AI and...
I think we're very close.
Right.
We're very close. People ask me all the time, how do you feel about AI? I said, I'm not as concerned about artificial intelligence as I am about basic stupidity. I mean...
Yeah, so that was the best answer I could have ever heard.
Yeah, real life stupidity worries me more than the fucking AI.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very fair.
Have you ever given your son-in-law, Chris Pratt, acting advice?
No. I think that he's doing fantastic in his career.
He is fantastic.
I mean, he's really great. And we talk a lot about, you know, show business, because this is a whole new era now. And so we talk about that versus when I kind of got into the game. And he's a fun guy to talk to. I'm really happy that my daughter, you know, has found him.
Yeah.
And or that he has found her, whatever you, or they found each
other.
They found each other, whatever. But I mean, it's because they really fit really well together.
Nice.
And they just look wonderful together. They're so in love with each other. And the grandchildren, I love the grandkids. I mean, she brings them over on the weekends on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I have, of course, the animals.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it's
the
easy
donkey.
For me to be a granddaddy, right? So I say, kids, you want to help me feed the animals? I say, let's go and feed Schnelli, which is my pig.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And the pig is now, I got it at the pig when it was like 16 pounds. Now it's like 100 pounds or whatever. I mean, I don't know what happened, but I think someone fed it. Someone fed it too much. Bodybuilding.
It's the power fed every Saturday.
It's the power of it. So now they're feeding Schnelli and they teach him how to put it in his mouth and all of those kind of things. Then they go over to the stall with me and they bring out the you know, the miniature donkey, Lulu, and Whiskey, the miniature pony. And then they feed them and they bring apples over and feed them and all this stuff.
How did you get into owning a miniature pony?
Well, Heather gave it to me, the miniature pony.
Are you Heather?
Yeah.
Nice,
Heather.
And the pony is actually Catherine's, but the donkey Heather gave me.
Okay.
And so what happened was Catherine had this pony. And then all of a sudden when she started getting interested in boys, all of a sudden the animals were out.
Yeah.
She didn't pay any attention. Mm-hmm. So I saw this pony down at the stall below where I live in some public stall. Uh-huh. And with other horses and miniature horses and stuff like that. And so I said, well, I'm going to bring it up to my house because it's stupid to have this miniature pony down there and doesn't get any attention.
Oh, nice.
I want to just have it walk around in the house, come into the house and stuff like that. So that's what I did. I had this pony and that's just it walked around the house and I fed it and it was always fun. And then Heather said, she needs a companion. So then Heather got me the miniature donkey. And so now I have, you know, Lulu and Whiskey. So the Whiskey is the pony and the donkey is Lulu. And so they hang. But the question really, so when you should see that, when they all come in the morning, I mean, it's like the donkey is in there, the pony is in there, the pig is in there begging for food, the three dogs are in there, everyone is sitting there on the floor and is waiting for the cookies because we're making these oatmeal cookies that have no sugar in it. It's just like honey and some oatmeal is in there and a few things like that. So
I'd be waiting
very,
on
very
too.
Healthy.
Yeah.
And so we feed this to the animals and they just sit there and they do anything you ask them to do if they get a cookie.
There you
already with food, as you know, with animals, with food, you can really
it's
kind
the
of
number
like,
one right there.
Yeah, make them do anything. So anyway, when Catherine comes over with her kids and they play with the animals like for hours, they just love it. They just love it. And can they pick up Cherry, which is the little dog that I have.
Uh-huh.
And so then Lila picks up Cherry, And then Eloise picks up Jerry. And then I want to hold Jerry. Oh, can I sit on the donkey? Yeah, of course you can sit on Lulu. Then I put on Lulu. And this is how it goes. So they're having a great time.
That sounds like a good time to me.
Love to talk about it, man. You can tell it's fun. In your professional political opinion, obviously, governor of California, we've been talking about it. Jason, how far away? Do you think he should
Why
run
are you
for
asking this?
Governor of Pennsylvania? Look, I mean, he's...
No.
He's got the... He's got it all, right?
Yeah, but it has to be in his heart.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you know, he maybe has the right combination. He has the most important thing, number one, is name recognition. Mm. So of course he has that.
Mm-hmm.
So the second most important thing is you have to be passionate. You have to really say, I see myself as the governor, like I did. I saw myself as the governor, and I was absolutely convinced I can do a better job than the politicians did, because I said to myself, because they always say, oh my God, Schwarzenegger doesn't know anything but politics. I said, well, wait a minute. I said, we have warehouses of politicians, of experts up there in Sacramento, and look at this, we have a $34 billion deficit.
Yeah.
I say, you should be ashamed of yourself. That's what you know? I say, I know better. I say, I would not spend money I don't have.
Yeah.
That's as simple as that. You know, so there were certain things like that that I've just felt very strongly, and that people elected me because of that. And so it depends, you know, if you are into the public service thing or not.
Yeah.
If you are, of course you can win because you're an imposing figure. You speak really well. You're very clear. And all you have to do now is then just convince the people, I'm the man.
Which they already know you're the man.
I can make this state.
Don't get me pumped up right now to go do this. I got a clear vision of my career right now.
Forget the mayor.
Yeah, fuck it. Forget the mayor.
Forget the mayor. Forget the mayor.
Don't get
said to me the same thing. You should run for mayor first.
Folks,
no. He's a governor. You go for governor and then president. You're born here.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is president. I mean, is that not.
I'm going to the White House. I'll steal that thing and change it.
Tomorrow. We would have the Super Bowl on the South Lawn of the White House.
That's what I'm talking about.
That I can guarantee you right now. Kennedy used to, when he was president, he used to have sports events right in front of this in the South Lawn of the White House.
That's so
he had,
cool.
You know,
man.
The fun baseball games and tennis games and football games. They all were playing there, doing some sport or the other. That's why when I did. When I became the chairman of the President's Council on Fitness, I then went and talked President Bush into having the Great American Workout on the South Lawn of the White House. And we had it
Brandon,
every beginning of the May.
Where is this on the rundown? God, that is so freaking cool.
That's why I tell you this stuff.
That's right.
This is all secret stuff.
This is cool, man. As authority to all the cool shit in the world, what are your thoughts on the new Cybertruck? Is it cool? Is it weird? Is it too futuristic? Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You have one?
I don't have one, no. But I can tell you one thing. When it comes to trucks, I like the old kind of stuff better. You know, I think it looks cooler.
That's fair.
I still love my Hummers.
Woo-hoo! That's what I'm talking about, baby.
I mean, it's like, I tell you, I have a Hummer. I had a Hummer that was electric, which was really fantastic. It had 550 horsepower.
Yeah.
And then we auctioned it off for the after-school programs.
Uh-huh.
And we fetched over $500,000 for
wow.
that thing. Yeah, exactly. It was really great.
Well done.
And then I have a biodiesel Hummer. I have, various different Hummers, and they're really fun to drive. And this is much more my kind of personality.
I'm more of a Hummer guy, too. Jason has a Cybertruck.
I got an old-school truck, too. Yeah,
you have
don't
the
try and yeah.
You have the Cybertruck.
I do. I just got it.
And
yeah.
Is it electric?
It is electric.
Yeah,
it's
fantastic.
Similar. It sounds like it's similar to the Hummer.
The amazing thing about the electric is it's just so much more power.
It just takes off
immediately because there's no delay.
Yes,
there's no delay. Exactly.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I also have an old Chevy Silverado from 1987, old square body Chevy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I love those.
Yeah,
square
I love
body
those
shoes.
Too. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, that's when they knew how to. Make cars, huh?
No doubt.
Exactly, yeah. You know that you guys are coming from Cleveland, obviously, but I mean, so in Cleveland, I never knew this is where they were, the original city was where they started building cars.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
back in Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
I went to that car a museum.
Yeah.
The auto museum that you have there.
Absolutely.
It was fantastic to go through there.
Yeah. Our dad worked in the steel mills. I think our family history was the only reason that city started was to build cars initially.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was a manufacturing town.
And then eventually
town.
Went to Detroit somehow.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, what a history.
Yeah.
I never knew there was such a history there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fantastic. It's beautiful.
Industrial Revolution.
Beautiful city.
Absolutely.
Another reason why Cleveland's amazing. All right, last question. If you were to reboot one of your movies and cast each of us in a role, what movie and who do you think we'd play?
Oh, I would definitely do Conan the Barbarian. Imagine how real this is. I mean, you don't have to change anything. All you have to do is go on
grow
a
my hair out.
Go on a no, you can put a wig on it.
Wait, that was a wig.
But there was a partial wig.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, partial wig. I mean, the thing is that they had also had short hair in those days. You don't have to do the long hair thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, that would be fantastic. All you have to do is just learn how to horseback ride, and then maybe you guys know how to horseback ride.
I've been
ride.
Bucked off every horse I've ever been on.
Because that is the key thing, is to really get good in horseback riding.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you do the sword fighting on a horse, you cannot pay much attention to the horse.
Yeah.
The horse goes around the circle and does its thing, but you have to pay attention to the sword not to get whacked.
Right.
So, I mean, so that's the thing. So I think if you take sword fighting lessons, I took 3 years sword fighting lessons in 3 years,
what?
Horseback riding lessons, and with all kinds of weaponry and the martial arts and all this stuff. And it really was helpful to be that prepared when I did the movie. But that's the key
that's
thing.
So, cool,
so if you
man.
Do that, I mean, imagine you guys.
Yeah. That's
with
it.
The armor.
Just 3 years.
And the big hammer and the big battles and all that stuff. Oh, and riding there into the village, just wiping out everyone. Crush your enemies, see them driven before you and hear the lamentation of their women.
Yeah.
Maybe I can start off on Lulu.
Exactly.
All right. That brings our show to a close. Let's wrap it up. Thank you so much to Arnold Schwarzenegger for stopping by. Make sure you subscribe to the New Heights channel on YouTube so you know when all the new episodes are coming out. Listen and subscribe wherever it's your podcast. And also make sure to purchase tickets to our upcoming live show at the University of Cincinnati on April 11th. That's right. Head to GoBearCats.com/NewHeights right now to secure your seats. You're not going to want to miss this, 92%ers.
Once again, New Heights presented by Wave Sports and Entertainment and brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, baby. Let's go, Sports Bar. That's a round of applause for everybody in the background.
There we
Thank
go.
Whoa. Jason and Travis, a fantastic, I mean.
Arnie, we can't thank you enough, man.
Fantastic interviewers. That's all I can say, even though I know they're going to cut this part out now.
Oh, no, it's
oh,
in.
No.
These guys are really the real deal. I love talking to them, and I'll be back.
We'll end it there, baby. See you later, 92% is Arnie. Thank you, brother.
Oh, my gosh.
So fucking cool.
He was in a shot?
He was.
What kind of an angle is that? Oh, with that camera over there. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. And why did you do that? I mean, it's like, did Sly send you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Start it up, baby.